replaced it. We get a new couch and we take it out. We've had that couch for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden we put the new couch in there. We're like, wow, I had no idea how ugly and dirty that was. There's dead animals in the cushions. All right, it is gross. But in a similar situation, that's what Paul is doing in this passage tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. He's basically pleading with Christians to analyze their lifestyle to see if it is characterized by a heathen old man lifestyle or a heavenly new man, new creation lifestyle. That's the same question that we're going to ask ourselves from this passage tonight. I had to ask myself this question. I'll ask it to you as well. Is my life characterized, or maybe a better word would be dominated, more by a non-Christian mindset, a way of thinking, or is my life characterized and dominated by Christ's way of thinking? What dominates my thinking? What dominates my lifestyle? And in order to do this, Paul contrasts in Ephesians chapter 4, four main characteristics of a heathen mindset. And then he gives the contrast with four main characteristics of a heavenly mindset, a heavenly way of thinking. The way of thinking is directly related to our way of living. You know, I hadn't really put this connection together. I've heard it. But really, when you analyze a lot of the New Testament passages, your thinking and mindset and perspective is the foundation of how you live your life. A changed mind equals a changed life. You live how you think. And to fortify this, to explain this, I'm going to look at three passages tonight. Two before we look at Ephesians chapter 4, and then Ephesians chapter 4. So you should be at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Well-known verses, but very similar to the passages that we're going to look at tonight. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Actually, let's all stand in out of respect for God's word, and we'll read three passages. So don't get too tired standing up. But Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. I beseech you, there's that word, I beg you, I urge you, again. Paul was a beggar under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we no longer under the Old Testament sacrificial system. Now our bodies, ourselves, are the sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Says this, wherefore, or because of this, gird up what? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, the old man, in your ignorance, but in contrast to that, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or your lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now let's turn over and look at our final passage. Our main passage tonight is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. It says this. This I say therefore, because of what has already been said in this book, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk or live not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Here's the contrast. But ye have not so learned Christ. If that's what characterizes you, that you don't get Christ. You don't understand it. If so be that ye have been taught, have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind, your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that I would grasp this, that we all would grasp this concept. Help us as a result to live distinctively Christian lifestyles, sourced in your Son, Jesus Christ, in line with your spirit, dominated by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So a quick review. We'll go over it very quickly. What we've been looking at. The first part of this passage says, this I say therefore. So because of what has been just said. What has been just said? Chapters 1 through 3, as we've already seen many times, is our position in Christ described. The awesome blessings that we have in Christ. As a Christian, here is the bank of the believer. Here is your wealth described. Now, chapters 4 through 6 is the practice as a Christian. Your walk. The response and walk of a genuine Christian. If you understand and grasp what you have, then here is the natural result of how you will live your life. A genuine Christian will live in this way. So chapters 4, 1 through 6, as we boil it down to this chapter, the call to a worthy walk. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The call to a worthy walk is your logical reaction to the reality of God's blessings that were described in chapters 1 through 3. Then it says, walk worthy how? Walk worthy as a church. Spiritual gifts. God has given us grace enabling gifts in order to help each other and to bring glory and honor to him and to advance Christ. It's done through Christ, enabled by the Spirit. Then, verses 17 through 24, as we are looking at tonight, walk worthy as individuals. Living a distinctly Christian lifestyle as an individual. Then when you boil it down from verses 17 through 24, or really 17 through the end of the chapter, you have what the Christian life is not, what it isn't. The Christian life is not characterized by these things. If this is what dominates your lifestyle, then you are not in line with the name Christian. However, verses 20 through 24, as we'll look at tonight, here's what the Christian life is characterized by. If you call yourself a Christian, then these are going to be some distinctive characteristics of your life. And then verses 25 through 32, it basically gives some specific practical examples of living out these characteristics. It's the Christian replacement plan. Practical examples of what the Christian life looks like. And the main thoughts of verses 17 through 24 is this. Because of all the gifts and blessings of our Christianity, we should respond by living a distinctly Christian lifestyle. In America today, there's become this blending of secularism and Christianity. And Christ says over and over again, we're going to look at several passages. The Holy Spirit says in God's word, no, there is a definite distinction between Christianity and the secular world. So verse 17 through the rest of the book answers the question, all right, I get it. Here's what I have. I want to live for Christ now. I want to live for God, but give me some specifics. How can I do that? And chapter 4, verse 17 now gives into specifics. What does a distinctively Christian lifestyle look like? If I'm going to live like a distinctive Christian that is walking worthy of my wealth, how do I do it? All right, so last week we looked at what the Christian life is not. Verses 17 through 19. The Christian life is not characterized, number one, by being self-centered and empty. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How? In the vanity, vainness of their mind. It's vain, it's empty, it's worthless, but it's proud and selfish. It's all about them. We try to have family mottos in our family, and we don't always live them out, but we try to remind ourselves of these. And one of them is, it's not all about you. But for the heathen mindset, it is all about you. It's all about your pleasure, your popularity, your power, your possessions. That's what life is all about. And he's saying that is not what characterizes a Christian. Life is not all about you, but to the world it is. Second, what a Christian life is not characterized by being ignorant of the truth. And when you look at verses 17 through 19, you realize that it's a process. When a person is selfish and vain and empty, what happens next? It's because they're ignorant of the truth. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit living inside them. They have nothing to stop them but the grace of God, because of the blindness of their heart. So they're ignorant of the truth. The third characteristic of what the Christian life is not is they're shameless about their sins. Verse 19, who being past feeling, literally the idea of calloused in their hearts, past feeling, they don't care, have given themselves over. It means it's a process. They have come from an ignorance of the truth to a full-blown going after of sin. They're shameless about their sins. Verse 20, who being past feeling, who cares if I do this? Have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, basically sensual sin, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So they're not only shameless about their sins, but then they become, my notes are off here. There we go. They're consumed with wanting to do their sin, being past feeling, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Basically, they are greedy to do all they can to sin. And this is very, very, very violent sin. It is, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to do whatever it takes to accomplish this sin in my life. And this is a process where it starts from emptiness and vainness and selfishness to an ignorance of the truth and what is right and wrong to a shamelessness about sin. And eventually it comes into full blown, I don't care what happens. If I have to take it or steal it or worse, I'm going to get what I want no matter what. So what's what a Christian life is not? Being consumed with what wanting to do sin. And basically, a choice made often enough becomes a habit. Here's a quote. A choice made often enough becomes a habit. A habit reaps a personality, and a personality reaps a character, and a character reaps a destiny. And that's exactly what happens. It's a series of perspective mind choices that they have given themselves over to. Say, wow. I don't see that all the time in people's lives out in the world. Well, that's because of the grace of God stopping individuals. But people left to themselves will eventually wax worse and worse and worse and worse. So then, that is not what a Christian is characterized by. Well, what is a Christian life characterized by? Let me just say, kind of application where the rubber meets the road, a little rabbit trail. Parents. Of children, a parent of four children, be aware, this is the tendency, the progress, the progression of our children if we do not give them direction and discipline in their lives. So what the Christian life is, Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, in order to live a genuine, distinct Christian life, we must, number one, learn the significant change that comes because of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. If this is what characterizes your life, selfishness, emptiness, shamelessness about your sin, then you don't truly understand what you have. Or maybe you don't even have it. But ye have not so learned Christ, verse 20 says. That is the opposite of a Christian. So number one, a genuine Christian understands the significant change that comes because of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right. Now as a Christian, at the point that an individual places their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside them. They are now washed from their sins. They are clean. They are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And now there is a significant change in their lifestyle. You can't be hit with a ton of bricks and have nothing happen is the idea. If I were, I said this before, if I were to come late tonight and I were to come and it was time for me to preach and I came up here and you guys waited and 2 or 3 minutes later I rushed in here and I'm all dressed in my suit and I'm ready. I come up here and I said, I'm sorry I was late. On the way to church, I was going through Alameda and Havana and a semi-truck going 60 miles an hour sideswiped me. I went about 300 yards in my car, rolling, flipping. I'm late. Sorry about that. You'd say, I don't believe you. Why? I'm still alive. Nothing's happened. I don't have any scrapes or bruises or anything like that. But the truth is, if we say that we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, a significant change has happened. And if Christ now lives inside us, then a significant change has happened and our lives and our attitudes and our perspectives are different now. There is a change. We are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So Christ is now our Lord and Savior, and we are to think like Christ, act like Christ, love like Christ, live like Christ. Christ is now our pattern of lifestyle. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not our own indulgence. We now live the life of wanting to do what Christ wants us to do, living out God's truth, not our own, which is empty and selfish. I want to look at a few other passages. We've already looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2. But just to show you that this unique change, the significant change that happens, is not something that is simply described in Ephesians chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But I'm going to look at some quick passages and explain to you the change is significant. Romans 12, 1 and 2, as we've looked at already before, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your logical reaction. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, a change of perspective, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The next passage, I've quoted it already too. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. So if you have been placed, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you made him your Lord and master and king of your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a significant change, a distinction. Colossians 3, 1 through 5 says this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead to those things. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, kill, destroy, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, sensuality, sin, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then the passage goes on. Kill that and live for that. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, my physical life, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is no longer mine. It's Christ's. And everything I do is motivated and I am pursuing and living like my pattern. I'm going to live like Christ. I'm going to love like Christ. And everything that I do is dominated with that thinking. Glorify God and advance Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So what's my point? If you call yourself a Christian, if you are a Christ-centered, spirit-controlled, word-dominated Christian, there's going to be certain places that you will not go. There's going to be certain music you won't listen to. There's going to be certain entertainment that you won't participate in. There's going to be certain clothing styles that you won't participate in. There's going to be things that you don't do, relationships that you don't pursue. Why? Because you're distinctly separate from that. I've shared this illustration with the teens, but it kind of, no one's here that this qualifies, but many years ago when I first was a youth pastor here, I think it was even before I was a youth pastor, I went on a youth trip, and it was interesting to me because we had a long drive, and it's fun. I enjoy talking and going back with the teens. But the Friday night before, we had new neighbors in our neighborhood that we were trying to reach, and they had kids that were about our age, and they asked us, "Would you mind babysitting our kids for the evening? My wife and I are going to go watch this movie." And I said, "Sure, that's fine." They're trying to reach them. So they went, they came back well after midnight, their kids were sleeping. And I said, "Hey, how was the movie?" They said, "This unsaved man." He said, "You know what? I have a knot in my stomach." He said, "I'll be honest. It was over the top, in his words, immoral. It was gross. And I have a pit in my stomach." I was like, "Really? Okay." I've never seen the movie at that since then, because this unsaved man, characterized by these things, said it was over the top. Well, on this youth trip the next week, on the front row, I have young people talking about how great of a movie it was. And I say, "Wait a minute here. What is your perspective on right now? Can you analyze this with me?" And I told them the story. I said, I haven't seen the movie. Why would my unsaved neighbor get a sick feeling in his stomach because of how immoral it is? But at the same time, you're talking about how great of a movie it is. Do you see a problem here? All right. And then I know recently there's been movies like that too. In two separate occasions, I've heard people talking about how great of a movie it is. Then I have unsaved friends, unregenerate friends, telling me, "Ooh, that was over the top immoral." That's a problem. That's not something that should characterize Christians. If you are a distinctly different Christian with a different mindset and a different perspective and a different new creature mindset that's dominated by Christ, there's going to be certain things that we do not participate in. There's this mindset in our world right now, it's FOMO, fear of missing out. And we're afraid that we're going to miss out on the movies or the music or the dress or the whatever it be. And we're afraid that we're going to be looked at as different. What Paul says and what others says is we are different. It's okay to be different as long as you are like Christ. Stand out. Not in a weird, goofy type of way. That's not what I'm talking about. But in a character way, in a spirit-filled, God-centered, Christ-love-dominated way, be distinctly different. There is a distinction between the heathen mindset and the heavenly mindset. Set your affection on the heavenly mindset if you have then been risen with Christ. There are certain things you will avoid and certain things that you will pursue, all of which will be dominated by a changed perspective on life and changed way of thinking. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's a change of perspective, a change of thinking, a change of pursuits. So at salvation, our whole perspective on life changes. Instead of being self-dominated, we become Christ-dominated. He is not only our Lord, our Master, and our King, he is also our pattern now for living. We should ask ourselves this question constantly. Am I controlled by my way of thinking or by Christ's way of thinking? Have I learned Christ, or am I still dominated by my selfish, empty self-indulgence? But ye have not so learned Christ, if this is what characterizes and dominates your thinking. So now the second characteristic of the accurate Christian life, a Christian who is walking worthy, that understands its wealth and is logically reacting the way that Christ wants them to, is this. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So realize that the truth is found in Jesus Christ. They realize that the truth is Jesus Christ. Everybody is dominated with a thought in a search for truth. I'm searching for the truth. Well, the truth is found in Jesus Christ. Turn quickly over to 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20 says this. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Verse 21, Ephesians 4. If so be that ye have heard him, have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Realize that the truth is found in Jesus Christ. A genuine Christian with this distinctly difference is not going to be searching for all kinds of truth. They're going to be dominated with the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. Once we learn Christ, the next step is that we will know the truth, God's truth. Where is that found? God has given us two ways. Well, really three, if you want to boil it down. Romans 1 talks about general revelation. He has given us creation so that we can know him and know his truth. But specific revelation, he's given us his word, the Bible, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. How can we know truth? The Bible, who tells us of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who works inside us. Tells us about eternal life, about creation, about man, about sin, about death, about life, about relationships, about salvation, about true happiness, true joy, peace, heaven, hell, etc., etc., etc. If we want to know the answers to life, find them in Christ, not everything else. Here's the application. A distinctly Christian person who is concerned with walking worthy of God's blessings is a person who chooses God's truth over personal indulgence or the world's philosophy. Are you making it a point to apply the truth that is found in Jesus Christ? Remember he said how he described himself to the woman at the well? John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as the truth is in Jesus, a distinctly Christian individual will find their truth in Jesus Christ. And then the third characteristic of an accurate Christian life, a person who is walking worthy, a Christian who is distinctly different, they will, number three, put off the old man, or put off the old lifestyle. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. One of the most miserable people in the world to be around is a Christian who's living in sin. Why? Because they know the truth, but they're not living in it. this picture here that she put off and put on is literally that of putting on clothing and taking off and replacing the clothing. All right, so here's the kind of the word picture here, and I'm going to try to explain it, illustrate it. At salvation, we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed. Positionally, we can never lose our salvation. We get to the point where we see Jesus Christ and we say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm calling on you to save me. Save me from sin. Forgive my sin. And I'm placing my faith and trust in you as my Lord and Savior. When a person comes to that place in their heart and they make that commitment of faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they became a new creature. They are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, never to lose their salvation again. When God now sees them, they see his son Jesus. When God sees those people, he sees his son Jesus Christ, cleansed. But here's what happens. We get comfortable in our old clothes, those old dirty work clothes, that sweatshirt that's so comfortable but has rips all over it and is stained and dirty and has been drugged through the mud and it's mildewed and gross and moldy and there's bugs and maggots all over it, all right? And we say, oh, what am I going to wear today? Yes, my old comfortable coat. And we go out in public wearing our old comfortable coat that is filthy. That's the same as Christian life. We say, you know what? I'm cleansed. I'm nice and clean. How am I going to live today? How am I going to act today? What kind of attitude am I going to have today? Am I going to go to this closet with the nice, clean, comfortable, pure clothes that God has provided me, given to me through his word? Or am I going to go to my old standby and I'm going to act in this way and live in this way? And what this passage is saying is, even though now you're cleansed positionally from the blood of Jesus Christ and you are now a Christian, you're now a new creature, you need to have some serious choices. You have some serious choices and you need to make some serious decisions to follow God's way instead of the old way. That's the sanctification process. Sanctification process is basically getting comfortable, breaking in your new clothes. When we become Christians, we become a new creature. We are born again. So why do we struggle with sin? We still have temptation. A Christian is not perfect. Yes, positionally we are cleansed, but practically we still struggle with sin. We still have temptation. We still have times where we fall. God is a loving, forgiving, gracious, merciful God. Thank God for that. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian and a Christian is this. Oh, I just fell into my old sin again. Oh, I wish I was this. A non-Christian says, who cares? I did it. I have my fire insurance. I prayed a simple prayer. I'm good to go. Who cares? I'll live my way. I'll live life my way. I don't care. I'm comfortable in these clothes. A Christian says, no, I made a mistake. I want to live this way. And they're dominated by Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master and King. And this is saying, if you're to the point where you're so comfortable in your sin and so dominated in your sin and so dominated by an ungodly heathen lifestyle, maybe you're not a Christian. Put off, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Get rid of it. Burn it. Don't live like that anymore. We are born again. So why do we struggle with sin? Because we still have the old coat on. The Christian life, the sanctification process of the Christian life is all about throwing off our old coat and living how Christ wants us to, getting comfortable in God's clothing. As Christians, we need to be distinctly different than the world and the world's way of thinking. How? By avoiding sin and the sinful lifestyle. that ye put off concerning the former conversation, your old lifestyle. Don't have anything to do with it. Which is corrupt, it's dirty, it's filthy, according to the deceitful lusts. As Christians, we need to be distinctly different than the world and the world's way of thinking. How? By avoiding sin and the sinful lifestyle. A distinctly Christian lifestyle is one that hates sin and wants to avoid it at all costs. View sin as sin is. Yes, it may be comfortable and fun, but it's mildew, mold, maggot, dirty. It's infested. Treat it like that. Your change of perspective needs to take place. Then number four, the fourth characteristic of the accurate Christian lifestyle, a person who's walking worthy. A Christian who is distinctly different will, number four, be constantly renewing our mind with God's way of thinking. So we've said, put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man, verse 23, and be renewed. That's actually interesting. I came across, it's a passive. It's something that happens to you. So the idea is be receptive of the Holy Spirit that's working in your mind and your heart and your life. Yield to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. It's already there. You don't have to work this up. The Holy Spirit's alive and active. Be renewed. Accept it. Be yielding and accepting to the Holy Spirit and Christ's work in your life. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the attitude of your thinking, your perspective, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you have that closet, you have this closet. Don't wear that kind of lifestyle, wear this kind of lifestyle. The Christian life is not about just taking off our old coat of sin, but it's also about consistently putting on a new coat of God's righteousness and holiness. How do we know what's righteous and holy? He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Tap into those resources. Dominate yourself with the spirit-controlled, word-filled life. So we must replace our old way of thinking with God's new way of thinking. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let these things dominate your mind. Are you constantly renewing your new way of thinking by cutting the cords of your old lifestyle? Or are you constantly seeking to live a life that is connected to your old, smelly, sinful self? Temptation is a real, alive part of our lives. All of us know that. How are we going to flee temptation? How are we going to conquer those? Obviously, the Spirit, the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted, he set the pattern. He quoted Scripture. He resisted the devil. And eventually he fled from him. Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, James 4 says. Well, think about this. This passage right here, putting off and putting on, how does this impact your life, our lives? How does this impact your attitude, your perspective in life? How does it impact your testimony? How does it impact your pursuits? What do you count as your main goals and pursuits in life? Are you dominated by the heavenly way of thinking or the heathen way of thinking? What about your free time? What about your entertainment? Is it wrong to have free time and entertainment, enjoy hobbies? No, it's not. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not preaching against all free time and all hobbies. It's not what I'm saying. But what dominates your free time and what dominates your entertainment is stuff that should not be entertaining for Christians. Your movies, your music, your internet, your gaming, your apps, your movies, are they things that Christ would be doing? Or are they things that the heathen would be doing? Let your perspective on those things change to be more in line with what would Christ be doing with my free time and my entertainment. What about your dress, your apparel, is it dominated by a heathen way of thinking? What about your relationships? Yes, we should love like Christ. And yes, Christ did not, he told us to be in the world, but not of the world. He doesn't want us to go up and be hermits in the mountain, never touching anybody or talking to anybody that's of the world. No, that's not what I'm saying. But do we view people as Christ does? Through the glasses of the love of Christ. How can I bring this person from this point to this point in their spiritual life? Are we viewing people like that? Or are we viewing them as, how can I take advantage of this person? How can I use this person for my benefit? As Christians, our whole perspective changes. Has your perspective changed? Or is it something that you need to redevelop, renew? Have we got caught up in this kind of lifestyle? And we now need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we've been looking at this, and we've been looking at this, and it's so easy in America, Christianity, to look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and before we know it, we've embraced this. We need to renew, recharge, push the refresh button on our way of thinking. Oh, yeah, that's my perspective. That's my pursuit. That's my reason for being here. That's my purpose in life. That is my king. That is my Lord. That's my master. So what? But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, your perspective, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what? Put off. Put off your old lifestyle and way of thinking. What dominates your lifestyle and your way of thinking? Put on God's way of thinking, which is centered in Christ and results in righteousness and true holiness. Then some application questions that were challenging to me, and I hope are challenging to you. Have you learned the significance of Christ? Do you understand that the wealth and becoming a new creature was a significant change? Is he truly your motivation and foundation, your pursuit? Second, do you realize that the truth is found in Jesus Christ? Not your own thinking, not the philosophy of the world, not of all the experts, but in Christ. Let him be your truth. Then number three, are you putting off your old lifestyle? Or are you comfortable in your go-to clothes? Are you clothing yourself with the coat of God's new way of thinking and acting? Spirit-controlled, word-dominated way of thinking. So now what? Analyze your life. When people interact with you, is it abundantly obvious that you are a distinct Christian? When people observe your attitudes, your actions, your desires, your pursuits, do they see Christ? Or do they see the average worldly person? Determined to live a life that is spirit-controlled, Christ-centered, and word-filled. When you are spirit-controlled, Christ-focused, and word-dominated, your life, you will live a life that is characterized by Christ, not by this world. May this passage and the other passages we looked at tonight dominate our lifestyle. Let's pray. Lord, I'm challenged tonight. Lord, my perspective on things are not always right. They're not always Christ dominated. Lord, I'm tempted to fall back and get comfortable in my old clothing. But Lord, I pray that I would be renewed in the spirit of my mind, that my perspective and my pursuits would be dominated by a heavenly way of thinking rather than the heathen way of thinking. We love you in Jesus' name.